ओम शांति। वंस अगेन ओम शांति। ऑल ऑफ यू लव पीस, डोंट यू? डू ऑल ऑफ यू लव पीस? इज देयर एनीवन हु सेज आई डोंट लाइक पीस? I like peacelessness. Anyone? We all love peace. Why do we all love peace? Because peace is our nature. Peace is the nature of the self, the soul. And I am a soul. So because we all love peace, we also all love God. Do all of you love God? Is there anyone who does not love God? We all love God. And we pray to God for peace. We ask for peace from God. But in spite of asking for peace, why are we not able to experience it? Because we don't know who God is. Why are we not able to experience peace from God? Because we are not able to connect with God. If I'm not able to connect this hall wire to the powerhouse wire, I cannot get electricity. So I should be able to connect to the main powerhouse, and for that I should know where that main powerhouse wire is. Similarly, God is the powerhouse, the supreme source of peace, love, happiness, bliss. And when we pray to God, we ask for that. But still we experience that peace is very far away from me. Happiness is very far away from me. And how do we try to communicate with the Supreme? We try to keep the mind in the Supreme. But then we are always complaining that this mind is like a naughty horse, like a vagabond, you know, an urchin boy, a vagabond who does not know where he is going, what he is doing, he is just roaming around. So too our mind has been roaming around like a wild horse without knowing the destination. In the Gita, God tells Arjuna, Arjuna, keep your mind in me. And Arjuna replies, how to keep your mind in you? It's so difficult. The mind is like a naughty wild horse. It keeps running here and there, and the mind is not able to concentrate on the Supreme. And God says, through two methods, two steps, you can make the mind to concentrate on me. One is Vairagya, disinterest, and the second is abhyas, practice. disinterest and practice will enable the mind to concentrate on God, the Supreme. Because that is what Raj Yoga means. Yoga means a connection, a link, a union, a communion. And Raj Yoga means the link of the Self with the Supreme. But why is the mind not able to communicate with the Supreme? Because first of all, I did not know who I was. And the second reason, I did not know who God was. So neither do I know who I am, nor do I know who God is. So how can the communication take place? And also the mind is so naughty that the remembrance of the Supreme is not able to be retained. The mind has to be very clean, very pure. Only then it can retain the remembrance of the Supreme. So how to make this mind pure? That's also another question. So the answer is vairagya, disinterest. But when this word disinterest comes, then many people think that, oh, to be a yogi means to be like a sannyasi, to renounce the world and all our responsibilities. Only then I can have disinterest. But it does not mean that. Arjuna did not renounce his responsibility. On the contrary, God encouraged him to fulfill his responsibility. Arjuna wanted to run away from the battlefield. He did not want to do his duty. And God made him realize that he could not go away from his duty. So where our duty or responsibility is concerned, if we try to run away, we are like cowards. So that's not what God teaches us. But definitely how to live in this world and still not allow the world to live in me, that is called vairagya. If the boat is on the water, one day it will reach the other shore. It will go across. But the condition is that the boat should be on the water. And also, the water should not be in the boat. Only then the boat will go across and reach the other shore. If the water comes in the boat, then what will happen? It will sink. So in order to keep the boat going, the water should not be allowed to come in the boat. And therefore, when we say vairagya, it means not to have attachments. So it is called unattachment. Do everything like a trustee. Do your duty well, but leave the fruit to God. Karmane vadhika raste ma phaleshu kadachanam. I have full choice of what to do and what not to do. But I have no choice of the fruit. I have to leave that to the Supreme. Because this is where karma philosophy plays its part. So today's topic is not karma philosophy, that will be on day after tomorrow. But then, who is God? And how can I connect my mind with the Supreme? So if I know who God is, and if I have love for the Supreme, the mind will automatically go to the Supreme. Now, not only do I not know who God is, but also that love which is necessary in the mind for the Supreme, that's not there too. Instead of love, there is selfishness. I'm only asking, God, give me this, God, give me this, give me this. If I receive it, I feel, okay, God, you are very good. But if I don't, I start hating God. I start cursing God. I don't want to say my prayers anymore. I don't want to even think of the word, the Supreme Father, because God did not fulfill my wish. So in this way, we become very selfish. But then Raj Yoga means the royal form of yoga, where we connect the mind with the Supreme in a very royal way. And then we feel that we don't lack anything. The mind is so contented that I feel I have got everything, achieved everything. And also the pure desires are duly fulfilled, no doubt. But today we have such impure desires which we don't deserve and still we desire. So God says, what you don't deserve, how can you get? You may desire a lot, but do you deserve it too? You have to ask yourself. So if I don't deserve, I'm selfish. In the world there are so many people who do not have even that much as I have. So how can I ask for more? I don't think of those millions of people who don't have even what I have. So I'm selfish. And therefore God says, instead of asking for things, you have to remember me and all your desires, pure desires will be fulfilled. You will become purified, contented, happy, blissful. And therefore, vairagya, unlimited disinterest. And practice. Practice of soul consciousness and God consciousness. But in order to practice, first of all, we should know who God is. When this question is asked, who is God? There are so many concepts, so many beliefs, so many different ideas, so many different philosophies. I need not go into all those philosophies and ideas and concepts. But the question is, why so many concepts? When I say God is the truth, Ishwar Satya hai. If God is the truth, then the concept of truth cannot change, it's only one. Truth cannot change. If something is speaking the truth, someone is speaking the truth, he won't change his statements. But if he is speaking lies, he will definitely keep on changing his statements. So when God is the truth, his concept also should be one. But why there are so many concepts? There is a reason. We don't blame the people. There's a reason. Because you cannot see God with these physical eyes. It's not something physical to see with one's physical eyes. Some may question, why can't you see? If God is there, He should be visible, He should be seen. But these physical eyes can see only physical things. And that also not everything. Even physical things I cannot see completely. Now, my sound which I'm speaking is also something physical, it's physical energy. But I can't see this energy, it's only waves which I can hear. The ears accept the sound and I can hear. I can't see it, the eyes can't conceive it. So even all physical things can be seen. But God is not physical at all. God is spiritual. Therefore, you can't see God with these physical eyes. This is one thing. Second is that the Supreme Being says, whoever remembers me with any type of faith, I fulfill that person's faith accordingly. But it doesn't mean that I meet that Bhagat, that devotee. If somebody is a devotee of Hanuman, then that devotee gets a vision of Hanuman. If someone is a devotee of maybe Ganesh or Vishnu or some goddess, anything, there may be a vision of that. Because whatever I my feelings, God fulfills those feelings. But doesn't mean that I'm able to meet God. So, because those feelings are fulfilled, I get attached to only those concepts, those beliefs which I have been having. And I'm not able to go beyond. And the result is my faith becomes like blind faith. If I have any desire and I worship any deity, any personal god, whatever, and my wish is fulfilled, I feel, yes, that one is God. Tomorrow I have another wish and I worship another deity, then I say, yes, that one is God because my wish was fulfilled. But God is not so many. God is only one. And therefore we have to understand the true form of God. And then only we can communicate with the Supreme. We sometimes give an example when it is said, what is the form of God? You know, there's an example of 5 blind men who went to a zoo and they were told to find out how an elephant looks like. Now they couldn't see the elephant because they were blind. So one of them touched his trunk, nose, and he said, oh, this elephant is like a big snake because it was moving like a snake. The second one said, no, elephant is like a big wall because that person was touching his stomach. Third person said, no, elephant is like a rope because he was touching his tail. The fourth one said, no, elephant is like a big fan because he was touching his ears and they were flipping, they were moving like a fan. The fifth one said, no, elephant is like a big pillar because he was touching his legs. And they began to fight with each other. Each one thinking, my belief is right, my concept is right. But who was right? Is elephant like a pillar or a fan or a snake or a rope or a wall? Is it? Or neither or all? Neither. Because none of the qualities of a fan are in an elephant, nor a rope in an elephant, or a snake in an elephant. So, the same thing goes with God. We get some experience from some personal faith and we start believing that. And then I disagree with the concepts of others because they have their own beliefs, what they have felt. And the result is I lead myself to blind faith. Then I don't know what to do because if I leave this one, then this one may curse me. If I leave that one, then that one may curse me and so on. So in order to really understand the truth, I need to add some vivek, some wisdom, some logic, some understanding, not just have blind faith. So what is the meaning of understanding? Because only when that understanding is there, then I'll be able to come to know the truth about the Supreme. For example, somebody may believe in Hanuman, you know, Hanuman. Okay, because he read Hanuman Chalisa for 40 days, and after 40 days his wish was fulfilled. So he said, oh, Hanuman is my God. See, he's so strong, so powerful. And he'll start praising Hanuman. But then, the truth is that Hanuman got that strength from Sri Ram. He did not experience the strength until he said, Sri Ram, Hey Ram. So when he said Sri Ram, then that strength came in him. They show, no, that Hanuman put the stones in the ocean. But then how did those stones keep floating? Because he wrote the name Ram on them. Ram. Faith in Ram. In Sri Ram. So as I was saying, that supposing someone is a devotee of Hanuman, and he gets a vision of Hanuman and his wish is fulfilled and everything. But Hanuman did not really give that strength. Hanuman himself took that strength from Sri Ram, as I was mentioning. But then if we go a little step further, Sri Ram also got his strength from Shiva. Because the story goes that when Sri Ram had to go to Lanka to conquer Ravan, he was told that he needed strength from Shiva in order to do that. That means Shiva is higher than Sri Ram also. And that is why he worshipped Shiva, and that was called as Rameshwaram, the Ishwar of Sri Ram. So who is the highest? The highest is the one who does not have to remember anyone else. The highest is the one who does not have to take strength from anyone else. So who is the one who does not take strength from anyone else? The one who is never born, who never dies. The one who is beyond the cycle of karma and the fruit of karma. Beyond happiness and sorrow, pain and pleasure, the one who is beyond all that, only that one can be called the Supreme. Now, we souls are not called Supreme. Then who is the Supreme Being? When this question is asked, who will give the answer? The Supreme Father says, only I come and give my own introduction. Human beings are not able to tell who God is because they don't know themselves. How can they tell about God? So the Supreme Being, he not only tells about himself, but he also tells about us as we are his creation, his children. So he gives the introduction of the soul as well as the Supreme Soul. And we say it with that faith and courage and understanding that the Supreme Being has given us his introduction through the medium of Pitashri Brahma Baba, the founder of this organization, and revealed his true form to us. Many people say, oh, you people believe your guru to be God. Maybe you, this photo that you have of your guru, you think he is God. We say, no, he is not only not guru, but he is also not just not God, but he is also not our guru. Pitashri Brahma Baba is our alaukik father. Laukik or bodily father is a bodily being who gave birth to this physical body. And spiritual father is the Supreme Being, the father of all souls. And Brahma Baba is the alaukik father, like a divine father, through whom we get a new birth, a spiritual birth through the medium Brahma, the creator of humanity, whom Shiva himself gave that name. So who is God? I will tell you five things, five points. These are like a measuring yard with the help of which you can come to the conclusion as to what would God's form be. The first thing is that God's form would be that one which should be accepted by all religions. Whether one is a Hindu or a Muslim, a Christian, a Buddhist, a Parsi, a Yahudi, any religion, Jain, whoever he may belong to, whichever religion, he should be willing to accept that form of the Supreme. Because God is only one. Whether you call him Allah or Khuda or Ishwar or Parmeshwar, Paramatma, Bhagwan, whatever you may say, but it's the same form. So if the form is the same and that's accepted by all religions, then it should be only one for all religions. Now, which form could that be? No physical form can be accepted by all religions. Even in one religion, a particular form is not accepted by everyone. In Hinduism, we see so many concepts. There is Shaivism, Vaishnavism, you know, so many. In South India, there are unlimited concepts. Dualism and also monolism, Advaitvad, Dvaitvad, Vashishtadvaid, you know, what not. And people are really so confused because they don't understand what the truth is. So God's form should be that one which everyone should accept. Even all prophet souls accepted that form. For example, Guru Nanak never said that he was God. Never. Guru Nanak said, Ek Onkar Satnam Karta Puruk Nirbhay Nirvair Akal Murat in Gurvani, the Granth Sahib of the Sikhs. If you read, you'll get the praise of one incorporeal God who has no physical form. He is remembered as Jyoti, Prakash. Param Jyoti, as he is called, as it is called. And Guru Nanak himself said that he was like a servant of the Supreme. And God was the highest on high. Nirakar, Nirankar, Nirvikar, Akal Murat. Now when this is said, many people say, okay, nameless, formless, tasteless, less, less, less. And many give this concept that God is that one. If all these different qualities are removed, then whatever remains, that is God. We say, no, that concept is also not right. You must have a direct approach. Nameless, formless, tasteless, less, less, less. You remove everything and then what remains is God cannot be the right concept. Why not go straight to that form instead of, you know, cutting off name and form and qualities and all that. So, actually what it means when we say nirakar or formless, actually it does not mean that no form at all. But it means that the form of the Supreme cannot be compared with any physical form. So nirakar is a word in comparison to sakar. Sakar means corporeal and nirakar means incorporeal. So the form is there but it's an incorporeal form. Similarly, when people say nirgun, no virtue, it doesn't mean no virtue at all. But the virtues or the attributes of the Supreme cannot be compared with the virtues of matter. Because even matter has its own qualities. And we can say that matter goes through a cycle of satogun, rajogun and tamogun. Matter passes through this cycle of three three gunas. But God does not pass through this cycle of three gunas. Therefore we say nirguna, because it is beyond triguna. Triguna is satoguna, rajoguna and tamoguna. So who is the nirguna? Beyond the three gunas, but doesn't mean that the Supreme does not have His own qualities. The attributes of the Supreme are unlimited. We say you can turn the paper into, you know, all the jungles into paper, all the oceans into ink and all the, all the jungles into pen and all the land into paper and all the ocean into ink, and Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge, writes the praise of God. That will not finish because the praise is unlimited. Because the qualities or the attributes of the Supreme are not able to be compared with the attributes or qualities of matter or nature. We remember God as the ocean of peace, of love, of happiness, of bliss, unlimited qualities, endless of them. So who is that Supreme whom we remember as Tvameva Mata Cha Pita Tvameva, Tvameva Bandhuscha Sakha Tvameva, Tvameva Vidya Dravidam Tvameva, Tvameva Sarvam Mama Deva Deva. Who is our Mother and Father Supreme, Teacher Supreme, Sadguru Supreme, Highest on High Supreme? So we have to understand that form. And therefore that form which should be accepted by all religions. Christ said, God is light. Lead me thy kindly light. Christ never accepted that He was God. He said, I am the Son of God. That's why when He was going to be crucified, He told God, Father, forgive them for their doings, because they don't know what they are up to. So forgive them. When He said, forgive them, Father, to which Father did He remember? And say for, and ask for forgiveness. So that one is the Supreme, whom even Christ remembered. Whom even Buddha and Mahavir remembered. Because Mahatma Buddha was a prince. Mahavir was also a prince, the one who established Jainism. So Mahavir and Buddha were contemporaries and they were princes. And how they renounced everything and did tapasya, meditation. But whom did they meditate upon? Whom did they remember? Whom did they concentrate on? That one is the Supreme, from whom they got that strength. They got the enlightenment. So who is that Supreme whom even Mahatma Buddha and Mahavir remembered? All the prophet souls remembered. The ones whose praise is the highest on high. And that cannot be any physical being, any corporeal bodily being. But it is that form which is remembered in all religions. It is light. Jyoti. And that Jyoti form is worshipped in Hindu religion as Jyotirlingam. Now when we say Jyotirlingam, then also many people have so many concepts. They think Lingam here stands for male gender. And many people say females should not worship Jyotirlingam or Shivling. Females should not worship. It's only meant for males. But actually Lingam does not stand for any gender. It stands for a symbol. Lingam means symbol. So Jyotirlingam means symbol of light. How would you depict light? With what symbol? With an oval shape. A thumb shape. That's the shape of a flame. And that shape is worshipped by the name of Shivling. I remember once I went to Annamalai University in Chidambaram. And we went to see that Nataraj temple. I don't know how many of you have seen in Tamil Nadu. Have you all been there? You have been there, no? From those who are from Tamil Nadu, they must have gone to Chidambaram and seen that Nataraj temple. And there we saw the worship of the Shivlingam. So many types of, you know, worship for that Sphatik Shivling. It was so small, made of white Sphatik, you know, stone. And how they said that this comes from the incorporeal world and then goes back to the incorporeal world. And it was white in color, Sphatik Mani. Very beautiful. Now, it has so many names. You can imagine the number of names it has. You go to North India, there is Amarnath. You go to South India, there is Rameshwaram. You go to the West, there is Somnath. You go to the East, there is Vishwanath. You go in Central India, there is Mahakaleshwar. Maharashtra also there is, you know, Omkareshwar, Vishveshwar, so many different names, so many, and each of the names depicts the great acts of the Supreme. And wherever you go to these temples, they say that God emerged, not that He was born, but Pragatua, just emerged, appeared, Swayambhu, that's what they say. That means, the Supreme is the one who is never born and never dies. He has no parents. And therefore, the first thing is that Supreme Form is accepted by all religions. No human being can ever give a challenge that He is Amarnath. Because one day He will die. And when He dies, what will we say? Amarnath is also dead. If Amarnath dies, then can he be really Amarnath? Amarnath means the Lord of Immortality. Somebody's name may be Vishwanath, you know, we have names called Vishwanath. But if you find out, he does not even have a flat or a house on his name, but his name is Vishwanath. Somebody as name, you know, could be any, but the qualities cannot be of those. I remember a brother, his name was Shiv Ram Krishna Bhai. All the three names were his, Shiv, Ram and Krishna. And he was so proud of that name, my name is Shiv Ram Krishna. And it's a long name, no? Shiv, Ram, Krishna, all three. On the path of bhakti, Shiva is different, Ram is different, Krishna is different. But here all the three names on one person. So people wanted to make shortcut of that name, so some would call him Shivram Bhai, some would call him Ramkrishna Bhai, some would call him Shiv or just Ram or just Krishna, but he never answered. He said, unless you call all the three names, I will not answer. You must say Shivram Krishna, then I will answer. So once I was introduced to him and the one who introduced me told me, please don't just say Shiva or Rama Krishna, call him by all three names. So I said, okay, Shiv Ram Krishna Bhai, your name is very lovely. You have the name of Shiva, of Rama and Krishna. So you must be having the qualities of also all the three. Shiva and Rama and Krishna. You must be having their qualities also. He said, oh sister, please don't say like that. I don't have those qualities. This is just a name given to me by my parents. I don't have those qualities. So, if I don't have those qualities, how can I be proud of that name? I should also have those qualities. If somebody's name is Shanti and she's all the time fighting, does that name suit her? Does it suit her? She's fighting all the time. Someone's name is Premavati and she hates everybody. She does not like anybody. Premavati her name is. I know a brother, his name was Hasmukh Bhai. Brother Hasmukh. Hasmukh means smiling face. But whole day his face is always sad, always crying, you know, always unhappy. So I told him, brother, your name is so beautiful, Hasmukh. At least smile. Hasmukh means smiling face. He said, what to do? My parents gave me this face. Now that you can't blame your parents for it. Because it doesn't cost you to smile. Does it cost you to smile? Do you have to make efforts to smile? It's so natural. But still, if I blame my parents for having given me a face which I cannot smile, then I can't. Whom else I would not blame? I would be blaming the whole world, even God. So, the name may not have those qualities, but if I'm given that name, it means I should take inspiration from that name. That means if somebody's name is Shiva also, Shiva means the benefactor. Now, who could be the benefactor of the world? Only God could be the benefactor of the world. So, we say God is one and that form is Jyoti form, Jyoti Swarup. But how could that Jyoti Swarup be worshipped? That's why a symbol is made on the path of bhakti for worshipping in the form of an oval shape. And given so many names based on the different qualities and acts of the Supreme. So the first thing is that God is that one whose form is worshipped by all religions. At least remembered by all religions. Without any bias. Without any yours and mine. The second thing is God is that one whose form is the highest on high. That means there is no other higher relationship than the Supreme. That is, He has no mother, father, no teacher, no guru, no ahead of Him or higher than Him, the one who protects Him or salvages Him. But He is the highest on high. The Supreme Mother, Father, Teacher, Sadguru, Friend, Preceptor, Guide, Liberator, Savior of all. Because in the world, my mother, father, teacher, guru are always higher than me. I cannot pay off all the debts of my parents till the end. I am always indebted to my parents. And I cannot say that I am greater than my parents. That is why they say Matra Rina, Pitra Rina, Acharya Rina. You know, they are like our debts which we have to keep on giving till the end. So, mother, father, teacher, preceptor, all these are higher than me. But the Supreme is the highest on high, above whom there is no other mother, father, teacher, guru and so on. But the Supreme Mother, Father, Teacher, Guru of all. And that is why that Supreme is called Swayambhu. They call Him Shambhu. Swayambhu means no creator. No one above that one. And why we say Shiva? Because Shiva means the truth. Shiva means the benefactor. Shiva means the ever beautiful. The highest on high. So when I say Shiva, I don't even mean Shankar. Because very many people say, oh, when you say Shiva, that one also has a form. But when I say Shiva, I don't even mean Shankar, because Shankar is shown with a physical form. And always shown in tapasya, doing tapasya. Well, if Shankar is doing tapasya, that means he is remembering someone higher than him. Definitely. They show Shri Ram doing tapasya. That means Shri Ram is remembering someone higher than him. They show Sri Krishna doing tapasya. It means Sri Krishna is remembering someone higher than him. They show Buddha and Mahavir doing tapasya, which means they are remembering someone higher than them. So who is higher than even Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh and Krishna, Sri Ram, that one is the Supreme Light, the Jyoti form. So even Shankar is remembering that Jyoti form. Shankar is called the destroyer, while Shiva is called the benefactor. For Shankar they say if he opens his third eye, if someone disturbs his tapasya and he opens his third eye, he destroys that. like they show for Kamdev. Kamdev tried to disturb Shankar's tapasya and he opened his third eye and destroyed Kamdev. So third eye means the third eye of enlightenment, the awareness of the self. If I am able to become aware of myself through the communion with the Supreme, I can finish off all the vices, the impurities, the weaknesses in me. Because I realize that I am a pure soul, the child of the Supreme Being who is the purest of all. So the second is, point is that the Supreme is the highest on high. The third is, not only is he the highest on high, but he is also unparalleled. He is unique. No one is also equal to God. Not only higher than the Supreme, but not also equal. Like the President is only one. Chief Minister is only one. Parents are only one. You can't say this one as well as that one. No. Only one mother and father. So not only God is the highest on high, but also no one is equal to the Supreme, parallel, running in equality or alike. So if that Supreme is the highest and the most unique one, it is called the Absolute One. Because in this world, everything is relative. Everything is relative. But God is not called relative, God is called absolute. Relative in the sense because you can always compare. Like you can compare this hall with another hall. And I'll say this hall is big because I'm comparing it with a smaller hall. But if I'm comparing this hall with a bigger hall than this, then I will call this small. And therefore, everything in this world is comparative and or relative. But for the Supreme, we will say absolute. That means beyond all the comparisons of this world, beyond all the opposites of this world, like birth, death, karma, fruit of karma, papa, punya, sukha, dukh, janam, maran, swarga, nark, pain, pleasure, happiness, sorrow, day, night. Everything is relative. But the Supreme is beyond all this. Therefore, beyond the tiny cycles, you will be told in one subject of how in nature everything goes through a cycle, but God does not go through this cycle. And therefore, the most unique of all, the one who is beyond the pull of matter, and therefore we say ajanma, akarta, abhokta, you know all these words are used. Nameless, formless, tasteless, because beyond the physical comparisons. We say niranjan, nirakar, nirgun. But doesn't mean that it doesn't have a form. Its form is light, jyoti. And it's only a point of divine light. Point in form, but endless in its virtues. Because the Supreme is the bestower, Data. The Supreme Being always gives. It never takes. We keep taking, taking, wanting, wanting, wanting. Even this body is always wanting. You know, food, water, shelter, clothing, this, that, always wanting. Because whatever I take in is absorbed. Again I want. It's not I eat once and that's all. I'm again getting hungry. Again I'm needing more food. Again I'm wanting. But God never needs anything. Therefore He's always the bestower. And because the Supreme is the bestower, we say that that bestower always keeps on giving. It never takes. So what is the form of God? A point in form, but an ocean in virtues, endless. And point and infinite, both cannot be measured. According to mathematics, a point is that which has no measurements, no length, no breadth, no thickness, no height. It is the same from all sides. physical things are not the same from all sides. Physical body, we take different poses when we take photograph. But point is that which is the same from all sides. It's only a dot. And an ocean, endless in the virtues, infinite. Infinite too cannot be measured. And therefore in one sentence we can tell the form of God. God is an ocean in a dot. Infinite qualities in an infinitesimal dot. A sindhu in a bindu. Now that form cannot be a physical form. And that Supreme Being is the all-knower. Therefore, whenever something happens and it's so confusing, I don't know what the truth is, I'll say God knows. Bhagwan jane, Khuda jane, Allah jane, Ishwar jane. God knows what is right, what is truth, what is not truth. Because God knows everything. He has the knowledge of the three aspects of time so clear in his intellect, just as the present is so clear in front of me. For human beings, even present may not be fully clear sometimes. I may mistake so many things. I may mistake a rope for a snake. I may mistake some shadow for a ghost. You know, I may not know, I may be afraid. It's only a shadow, but I think it's like a ghost. So, physically in the present, I can be deceived. Leave aside the past and the future, which are totally, I'm ignorant of. So too, if I say the same thing for God, it will not work, because God is the knower of all the three aspects of time. Not only is the present so clear in front of Him, but even the past and future are so clear in front of the Supreme, as if it's like the present for the Supreme. So the one who knows all the three aspects of time, that is the Supreme. Now no human being can ever challenge that He is God. Does He know the three aspects of time? I don't even know what will happen the next moment. So, who can be called God? I mentioned five main points. First is, the one whose form can be accepted by all religions. Sarvamanya. The second, Sarvocha, the highest on high in all relationships. Third, Sarvase Nyara, unique of all, incomparable. Beyond all relativity, absolute entity. Fourth, the bestower, always giving. And fifth, the all-knower. Now many people will say, well, all-knower, omnipotent, omniscient, and therefore He must be omnipresent also. Because usually people say these three words together. Omnipotent, that is almighty. Omniscient is all-knower. And then they say omnipresent. God is everywhere. Now again, there are so many concepts about this too. When we ask, where is God? Some people will say God is everywhere. Some will say God is in the heart. Like Hanuman said, Ram was in his heart. And he pierced open his heart to show that Ram was there. Now this can't be a physical thing. If somebody tears open his heart, will he live? He will die instantly. But giving place to God in your heart means that you love God so much. You know, on Valentine's Day, what do people do? They exchange hearts. They exchange their love. But if you really keep God in your heart, it's a big challenge. Because if you have God in your heart, then you cannot keep any human beings in your heart. Because if you keep even human beings in your heart, then this heart will be broken into 1,000 pieces. In Hindi there is a song, very beautiful song. Dil ke tukde hazar koi yahan gira, koi wahan gira. Because the heart was broken into pieces because it was given to a human being. And they say, dil diya dard liya. They give the heart and take the pain. What is the use of that? If you give your heart and take pain instead, sorrow instead. But if you give your heart to God, your heart will become so strong that nobody will be able to break it. So would you like to give your heart to God? Would you? Yes? Or you want to give it to human beings? So giving your heart to God or keeping God in your heart is a very beautiful feeling. Now those who say God is everywhere, actually they love God so much that they have kept God in their eyes. When I have God in my eyes, I will definitely see God everywhere. It's a beautiful feeling. Like Mirabai, she used to see Krishna everywhere because Krishna was in her eyes. A mother may say that my child is the apple of my eye. She may say my child is like, you know, the light in the eye. So my child is like that because he's so precious to her. So God is so precious to me, where will I give Him a seat? Either in my heart or in my eyes. And if I give Him my seat in my eyes, I'm seeing God everywhere. It's a beautiful feeling. And I must keep this feeling. I must always feel that God is with me. Wherever I go, I'm never alone. But feeling is something different. And a concept is something different. Where a feeling is concerned, never feel alone. Always think God is with you, above you, with you, in front of you, behind you. Behind you, He is guarding you. In front of you, He is guiding you. He is with you, He is your friend, encouraging you. He is above you, He is protecting you. You know, it's a beautiful feeling. But then if you want to keep your mind in God, where will you take your mind? You can't take it everywhere. That is why the mind keeps wandering. God must be having a place, an abode. Now, this is where we understand the right concept about the abode of God. Because we say that we have come from God and we have to return to God. This world is a guest house. It's a stage. So this world is not the home of souls. The souls have an abode called the soul world. So if the souls come from another abode, then who is God? God is also a soul, but supreme soul. Supreme in quality, supreme in everything. Just like we have so many courts in India. We have the session court, we have the lower court, high court, you know, district court, so many courts. But which is the highest court? Which is the highest court? Supreme court. So supreme court is only one. You can't have many supreme courts. Other courts may be so many. Similarly, souls are so many. You know, we say sinful soul, pure soul, good soul, bad soul. In Hindi we say papatma, punyatma, dharmatma, mahatma, devatma. Even devatmas are so many, 33 crore devatmas. But paramatma is only one. Capital G-O-D cannot have an S. It's just one, capital G-O-D. So param means supreme. Param means no two. But param does not mean supreme or big in size. Param means supreme in quality, supreme in authority, supreme in His acts, supreme in knowledge. And that supreme being is only one who is beyond the cycle of birth and death. So all of us are souls, even the supreme soul is a soul. But supremacy is because of the divine qualities of the Supreme, which are imperishable. We souls forget our qualities, but God never forgets. We souls come in the cycle and we are in the cycle of remembrance and forgetfulness, smriti and vismriti. And when we forget, we become body conscious. And when we remember, we again become soul conscious. But the Supreme Father never forgets that He is the Supreme Soul. And that's why the Supreme Being has to descend into this world to purify the souls once again, to finish the decay of religiousness and righteousness, what we are seeing in today's world. There's so much unrighteousness and irreligiousness in the world today. We say there is all type of acharan. There is durachar, atyachar, papachar, anachar, all acharan, all type of behavior except sadachar. That true acharan is no more today. And we pray to God, God, fulfill your promise and descend into this world. Because God's promise is that yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam dharmasya tadatmanam svajamyam. I descend at the time of decay of religiousness and righteousness, and I destroy the many irreligions and establish one deity religion, the Sanatan religion. The Sanatan religion of the deities, which was the true religion of Bharat, the original deity religion, and we are the descendants of those Devi Devatas. Therefore, we still have kept those names. But Shiva is the supreme, almighty authority. So where is the abode of the supreme? In the soul world, the supreme abode. We souls and the supreme soul come from the same home. We are not residents of this world. So even a soul is not resident of this world. How could God be a permanent resident of this world? And if the supreme being is already a permanent resident here, then why do we pray to God, oh God, call me back, I don't want to live in this world. Why do I say that? Where do I want to go? I want moksha, I want mukti, I want salvation, liberation. Then where do I want to go if God's already here? No, but I pray to God, call me back, liberate me. And liberate me means take me where? I want God to take me to the supreme abode. So where our feelings of love are concerned for God, it's beautiful to say that God is everywhere. Why not? Whenever I go alone, I never complain that I'm alone. I'll say, I'm never alone. God is with me. Shiv Baba is with me, I say. Shiv Baba, for whom do we say? For the supreme being. I'm never alone. And if God is with me, I need not worry, I need not have fear, I need not have any doubt. I have complete faith in the Supreme. Whatever will happen will be for my good. So this faith is so great. But when it comes to remembering the Supreme, I have to take my mind to the soul world, because God dwells in that abode. So in Raj Yoga, what we do, we take the mind to that highest abode. And with the mind's eye, visualize God in that supreme world. In a world of infinite golden red light, I see myself as a point of divine light in close connection or face to face with that supreme being. And I can become so close to that supreme being. Till now I was so far away. Why I was far away? Because I felt God was someone incorporeal, nameless, formless, tasteless. And I am with this name, form, these qualities, this, everything of the physical world. And I took it for granted that this belongs to me. And therefore, no comparison with God at all. Then how can I go close to God? But now through Raj Yoga, I begin to understand that just as God is a point of divine light and might, I also am a point of divine light and might. Both are alike in form. Both are alike in the home. We come from the same home. The father's home is the home of the child also. So my home is that supreme abode. So same home. Similarly, same attributes, whatever are the qualities of the Supreme are my qualities too. The only difference is that God's qualities are compared to an ocean, but I am the embodiment of those qualities. Therefore we say Atma is Ansha of Paramatma. Now when I say Ansha, some people misinterpret as part. Ansha does not here mean part of God. Because when I say part, what do I mean? I have this handkerchief and I just cut one piece and that becomes Ansha of it. But in this way, if I keep cutting many parts, this existence will finish in this way. So if I say Ansha in a physical way as a part of the Supreme, then so many parts will ultimately finish of the Supreme in its original form. But Ansha here is not quantity-wise. It is quality-wise. Quality-wise in the sense, whatever are the qualities of the Supreme, my qualities are the same. Maybe in percentage, maybe 1%, 2%, 5%. May not be 100% like the Supreme, but quality is the same. God is the ocean of peace. I, the soul, am an embodiment of peace. God is the ocean of love. I am the embodiment of love, because soul also is an embodiment of love. And this is why people say Ansha. And then some will say Ansha Atma becomes Paramatma. The soul goes and becomes God. We say, no, that's also not possible. You can't become God. God is not a status. Now, for example, we are saying, we know there's fighting going on for presidentship. Who will be the next president of India? There is still this problem going on in India now at the moment, the latest news. Who will be the next president? Because the 5-year tenure of the president is finishing. But then, can we say the same thing for God? Will his tenure finish and I will go and become God? Can you become God if you say soul becomes Paramatma? Paramatma is not a status. It's not a degree. It's not achieved through election. Here, presidentship is achieved through election. Whose votes are more, that one will get the seat. But does God get the seat because of election? No. Like your father is always your father. Even if you become the father of your children, but if your father is alive, he will still be your father, no? Even if you are a father of your children. You can't say now he's no more my father because I am the father. In front of your father, you're always a child. In front of your teacher, you're always a student. However big teacher you may become or a vice chancellor of a university you may become, but in front of your primary school teacher you will still call yourself, I was a student of this master. No? Won't you say that? Similarly for the guru, you know Vivekanand, he gave so much name to India when he went abroad. But still we will say, whose disciple he was? Of Swami Ramakrishna Paramahansa. Though people don't know Swami Ramakrishna Paramahansa that much, but they know only Vivekananda. But still, those who know Vivekananda will have to also remember Swami Ramakrishna Paramahansa, because that one was his guru who gave him the enlightenment which he did not have before. So we can understand that the guru will always be a guru, teacher will always be a teacher, father will always be a father. Come what may. Similarly, the Supreme is always my Supreme Father. Come what may. I can't become God. I can become Devatma, Punyatma. But Paramatma is only one. I hope it is clear. Yes? You have understood it now? So this is the very wonderful revelation which the Supreme has told us. Because supposing I say I become God, and now because I'm ignorant of it and therefore I don't call myself God. But does God ever become ignorant that he is not, that he is God? Huh? Ignorant of his nature of God. If God also becomes ignorant, then who will give the knowledge of God? If God also becomes ignorant of his own form. So God never becomes ignorant. The souls become ignorant. You will be told further that how there are three actually things to understand. Three things in this world which are eternal. Soul, Supreme Soul and nature. Purush, Parampurush and Prakriti. All the three are eternal. They have never been created. And they will never be created. But the only thing is that we have to understand how this game works between the three. The game is actually between two, Purush and Prakriti. Parampurush, the Supreme, does not interfere until the world becomes so degraded that there is no way out except for the Supreme to descend and destroy the religiousness. Like the president will never interfere in a regular democracy because the people have elected those ministers or the parliamentarians. But when will president's rule come in any parliament or any nation? When everything goes out of order. Is it not? Otherwise, president will not interfere. So, in this world also, at this time, everything has gone out of order. It's beyond the control of human beings. And therefore, we pray to God, now come and transform this world. So, God descends and we say it with that pride, with that faith, that for the past 71 years, God has been doing His work of world transformation through individual transformation for the creation of the golden age. So that work is going on in incognito form, but I have to ask myself, am I part of that incognito work of God going on? And if I have that faith, then I will definitely transform myself. Keep the consciousness that I am a soul and I am the child of the Supreme. So keeping that in mind, I have understood now the form of God. The name we say Shiva, it stands for the Satyam Shivam Sundaram, who is even the creator of Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh or Shankara, the Supreme. When I say Satyam, it means the truth, the eternal, the immortal, the imperishable, the indivisible, the invisible. And Sundaram means the ever beautiful. Beautiful not in physical skin, but beautiful in all the qualities. If the creation is so beautiful, how beautiful the creator will be. We say God is the creator. So the creation is also very beautiful and the creator is most beautiful. Therefore, Satyam Shivam Sundaram. And why is God called the creator? Not that He creates from nothing, but He creates a new world from the old world. The Kaliyug turns into Satyug. That is the new creation of the Supreme. And that task is being done by God now. So after having understood this, we can now try to concentrate on the Supreme. In the evening you will be told more about it so that you can concentrate better. But now you have been just told the introduction of the Supreme. Okay? So let us sit in that consciousness. This red light is switched on to give us an indication that please take your mind to the soul world, the world of infinite golden red light, because that's your eternal home, that's the home of souls, and that is also the home of the Supreme Soul. So taking your mind to that Supreme abode, we visualize with the mind's eye the form of the Supreme, who is a point in divine form and an ocean in all his virtues. So let us sit upright. And create a feeling of great joy within, because you are going to communicate with the Supreme, your Father, your Mother Supreme, your Teacher Supreme, your Sadguru Supreme, with whom you have all relationships. Keeping your mind in the awareness of the Self, elevate your consciousness to the Supreme Father. I am a soul. A point of divine energy. I'm the child of Shiva, the Supreme. Who's a point in divine form and an ocean in virtues. Sweetest Father, you are the ocean of peace, and I, your worthy child, an embodiment of peace. I am a peaceful soul, residing in the abode of peace, and I am the child of the ocean of peace. I am so peaceful. I have now realized that peace is my true nature. I belong to the world of peace, and my nature is peace. My Supreme Father is the ocean of peace. How peaceful I am. I go into the depth of peace and become silent, realizing the power of peace within me. In the company of the Highest on High Father, in this way, I experience all my qualities and get absorbed in God's love. After having known who my Supreme Father is, and after taking the strength from the Supreme, I descend into this physical world. Come back into actions once more, but now with a different feeling, a different attitude altogether. I have totally transformed. Om Shanti, Shanti.